There are many things in this world that still need to be tackled. We've done well in science, in that field. We've done well in education. We've done well in technology. But there is still one area that seems to be a problem for us, and that is the problem of loving. In that God says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. To whosoever, you know, the gift of doing great things is open for everybody. Whosoever can connect with me, can connect with the Creator, can submit to me that I have created you and I love you more than your mom and daddy loves you. We haven't been able to accomplish this because there are still some people that we refuse to love. There are still some people who are different than us that we refuse, or we don't know how to love, and we won't attempt to learn how to love. And so today I want to preach on that. I want to preach on loving like Jesus loved. And we're going to be looking at Romans, the 12th chapter, the 9th through the 21st verses. The first couple of verses are introductory, and they actually are talking about the church. And what I have discovered about church folk, we don't have any problem loving each other. You know, church folk, we love each other. And that, I don't care where you come from. I don't care where you, what color you are, what your culture is. If you're in the church, if you're in the body, then you don't have any problem with those folks. It's the other folks that we have problems with. So he begins by saying this, Paul does. And you have to remember, the church at Rome was a multicultural church because Rome was the center of the whole world during the ancient time. And so there were many people there, but they were dealing with one issue, and that is that the church was growing with the number of Gentiles. And so you have these Jewish Christians, you have these Gentiles, which are non-Jewish people, now coming into the church, and it's a challenge on how do you make everything fit. And so Paul, through the Lord's inspiration, writes this chapter, and beginning in verse 9, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people. Now, did you pick that up? Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. And if you did not know better, Olga, that's where we would stop. Sharing with the Lord's people. Sharing with the people who look like us. Sharing with the people who come from where we come from. Sharing with the people who have our thinking and have our background. Sharing with the people who are in our family. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. And that's good. But Paul challenges us in these next few verses, 14 through 21, to really look at what love is. And I don't think it's exhaustive, but I do believe that it is a good place to start. I used to hear preachers say that, you know, you can tell how much a person really loves God and loves the church by what they give. Now, I really don't think that you can tell how much a person really loves God by how much they give. But I believe that when you love something, you will give something. In other words, if you love, you won't be stingy. You won't hold back. You'll give something, even if it's a little something. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through these three truths. Only three truths that Paul gives us that are left here. The first one is, speak well of people who hate my beliefs. Speak well of people who hate my beliefs. They don't believe like I do. They don't come from my perspective. They don't have my politics. They don't come from where I come from. And those people over there, let me tell you, and those people do exist. But God says to Paul, tell them, speak well about them. Speak good about them. Find something good to say. He says it this way, 14 and 15. He says, bless those. That means to speak well of. Eulogio. Like you have a eulogy when somebody dies, you speak well of them. Bless those who persecute you. That means those who hate you because of what you believe, because of what you think. He says, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. For the longest time, I wondered, why would God say to speak well about somebody who hates my belief system, who hates what I think is important to me, that hates what I value? And what he is really saying here is, there may not be a lot more than you can do, but you can still speak well of them. To speak well of somebody means that you've got to get close enough to what they believe and how they are. And you might find out even people who think differently than you do or I do, they're still just folk and we all go through the same old stuff. So speak well of them. My children will tell you, we're all together in a church in Syracuse, New York. And it was one of the first churches that Cheryl and I got a chance to lead. And we were young, skinny, and everything at that point. And it was a really nice community and everything. But a lot of the people, they had to grow used to me. And they had to help me to grow. And we did grow up a lot in that church. But I had a bad feeling about some of the people, because they used to talk about me, or they talk about her, or they talk about my kids. And a lot of it was because we didn't act like somebody who was more mature in the faith, more along in the faith, have achieved so much. You know, it seemed like we'd be acting better, and the kids wouldn't be so bad. Funny how people can always jump on your kids when they're really trying to get at you. And so I got into a position where I started to be just as nasty to them and speak as nasty to them as they spoke about me, because I didn't want them speaking about my kids or speaking about my wife or speaking about me for that matter. I discovered that those same people, they had problems like I had. They had a life that had ups and downs like I had. And if you really want to know people, when they die, you talk to their family. And even the worst person that you think, I mean, there's no good going to come out of them, their family usually has something good that they're going to say about them. Am I making sense to you? That if you really want to know about a person, because for me, I would be asked to do a eulogy for a person. A eulogy, again, is to speak well. And I'm saying, but I can't think of nothing to say well about that person. And that person has been cussing me out and putting me down all of this time. And I discovered that their families always had something that I could learn to say good about them. Do you see what I'm saying? If I want to know something about somebody to say something good about, then I've got to get closer to you. I've got to get closer to your family. And I have to believe that there is some good in everybody. And no matter what you do, or no matter what you say, or no matter what you think about me, we all before God are not going to be seen as being great. That we all can grow. So the first one is to bless those. Again, speak well about people who don't like the way you believe, or don't like your politics, or don't come from your particular thinking structure. I like what it says in Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk. That word unwholesome in the ancient language actually means spoiled. Like, you ever eat, what is it, chocolate chip cookies? And the first thing you want after chocolate chip cookies is some milk. But you go to the refrigerator and that milk's been in there too long, and you drink it and you say, oh my goodness, this is spoiled. Well, this is what this is saying. Don't let any spoiled words come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I learned a great lesson in this. There's power in the tongue. And how you talk to people, you can either build them up or you can tear them down. This verse actually saved my marriage, because as a male, I talked male talk. And my wife didn't want to hear male talk only. She wanted to hear loving talk. But I didn't come from that kind of family. I came from a very male-oriented, you know, your grandfather, and the way that he talked. And when he talked like that, the grandmothers generally said, Well, I didn't marry a wife. And so I had to learn to talk other kind of words. But listen to this now. Not only what was helpful for building me up, but for building her up according to her needs. Am I making sense to you? That we can do it. I know it's hard, again, because everybody has got somebody in your life, maybe in your family, or maybe in your sphere of surroundings, your work or whatever, that just gets on your last nerve. And I hear God saying, here's one way you can love a person, and that is you can speak well of them. Now, I know that this is not something that you can do overnight. But my feeling is that make a commitment. If God is saying that this is the way to help the world be better, maybe I can do three people this year. Three people that really I can't stand. Three people that hate my belief. Three people that hate my form of Christianity. Three people who hate where I come from, my politics. I'm going to find three people that I'm going to say something good about. Can I get a witness? Now, I don't know if you can do it or not. I'm just saying, because I know some people are looking at me like this. But I want to challenge you, because if we can do good at technology, and if we can do it good at the sciences, and if we can do good at business, we can do better at loving if we just learn how to talk to one another. You think so? All right. Number two. How many did I say there was? Three. All right. Somebody had two fingers up. Number two, associate with people beneath my status. Associate with people beneath my status. Now, remember, we're talking about loving. And God is using Paul to challenge the church at Rome, because they got so many different people there, on how to love better. He says, number one, speak differently to the people. Learn from their perspective before you run your mouth. Learn from their perspective how they hear you, and then speak better. The second he says is associate with people beneath your status. Here's what he says in verse 16 tomorrow. He says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate. Oh, God. He had to put that in the Bible. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if, you know, I was just up here preaching. But he had to put it in the Bible. be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. I've learned that there's a tendency when you come up in a rough place, like I came up in the Bronx, New York, in the projects, and some of you have come up in similar type places, the Barrios, or some other little Italy, or some other place that wasn't so looked upon highly. And the more education I got, the less I wanted that particular lifestyle. Can I get a witness? The more I didn't want to have anything to do with that, the more I was being allowed to go up higher. And I hear Paul saying, Leroy, that's all well and good, and I want you to get an education, and I want you to get enough money to take care of your needs and your children and your grandchildren, but I need for you to reach down and help somebody else up. And you can't do it if all you do is stay around people who are as educated and financially secure as you are. I remember one time a young man from the area that I grew up, the neighborhood I came from, this is before I went to college. And he had just come home from his first year of college, and he was talking differently. TJ, he was talking like this. This is his first year of college. And I said to myself, Nick, if I'm going to be talking like that, I don't want to go to college. Well, college will change you. And it'll change your language. It'll make you speak. I got one daughter here who has written 3 academic books. Not one, 3. And who knows how many. And the rest of them will probably be doing the same thing. And so I'm always getting corrected in terms of my English. But God says, don't lose your commonness. You see, really, that's what that's about. We all come from common folk. That's it. We all come from common folk, and we're all just common people. And remember that if people are going to do better, and they may not all raise, they may not all lead that life, but they can love better if they know that somebody who has made it somewhere still cares about where they've come from. Can I get it with you? I want to challenge you. And the challenge is this, that you won't forget where you come from. You won't forget where God has raised you to. You won't forget as a church and in your ministry that even the homeless person is as good as you are. Even the person who does not have your education or the finances that you have is as good as you are. And some of them may even have gifts and talents that are better. But you've never given them an opportunity to express those gifts or those talents because we're too conceited. And I know that I am in the same boat. Sometimes I only say, oh, this person came to church today. They own a business. Oh, that's my friend right there. He used to play for guess who? Amen, Deacon Tom. The Raiders. But there are some folk who have not had their names called, or their names are not in any newspaper, or their names are not on any radio or TV. That's somebody to God. And if we were to just show a little love, there's no telling where they might be able to grow. You remember on last week when I preached about the fellow by the gate called Beautiful. And he had been lame for all of his life, which the Bible says in the 4th chapter, 40 plus years. Never walked. Peter and John, they had been with Jesus. And if they had been too conceited or too much above them, they would have never shared the love of God with this man. Can y'all hear me? They would have never shared the love of God with this man because they would have seen themselves. My goodness, you think you're big. These folks lived and ate with Jesus. They stop and they tell him, we don't have any money, but we've got something that's worth more than that. Because you see, you can do greater things than Jesus has ever done. You can't save anybody, but there's a whole lot of things that God can use you for that you can't even think or imagine. I am a witness to that. And the man gets healed that day. And you know what the great miracle is, Deacon Brenda? The great miracle for me that day, having had knee surgery 9 months ago, and I'm still learning to walk right. And my kids will tell you the ordeal that I've been. And some of it you've seen where I've come in here on walkers and so forth. That this man didn't need a walker. He didn't need a cane. He didn't need a wheelchair. He got up and started dancing and praising God. He didn't even have to go to physical therapy. I go to physical therapy still every day, every week. I'm saying to you, how many of you believe that God will still do great things through your love to somebody else? You know, we've seen it with our children, haven't we? That if you don't stop believing in your children, they will go on. It's like sprinkling water on them. They will go on and grow and be things that we never dreamt or imagined they would be. Am I wrong or right about that? God is just saying, tell the people, I need for you to look at the world as my children. Those are your brothers and sisters. And if you just don't be so conceited, if you don't just be so proud, if you don't just be trying to reach somewhere in life where you're all of that, y'all don't hear me. If you can reach back, maybe we can do three of those. That might be too much for you to do three of the other and then three of this. Why don't you take two of the other and two of these? Where I'm going to lift somebody else up this year. Now, I'm not saying put yourself in danger or put yourself in a situation that's going to be, you know, a harm to you and your family. I'm just simply saying the world doesn't get better by not loving people who are lower than you or where you came from and you don't care about anymore. Because you're no longer common. I'm saying that in God's eyesight, we're all just common people. Look at the person next to you and tell them, we're just common folk. We're just common folk. That's all we are. I know you're worth more than that. I heard a guy once say, you know, we're worth about $1.37. You know, worth of, I don't know, fluids and liquids and all this. But that's all we are. We're just dust. $1.37 worth of dust. And some people won't speak to another person because they're a different color dust. Some people won't speak to another person because you don't ride in a big car or live in a big house. We're all just common folk. James says in 2:1-2, he says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man or a woman comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothing, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Number three, last one. How many, do y'all want this last one or you want me to sit down? Or you want the last one? Okay. That's what I like about good Baptists. We always like whatever you say you're going to get. You don't want more than that, but you want what you're supposed to get. All right, Nelson, let's look at what we got here now. Number one, I'm going to speak better. Everybody. I know there's some people that really lift my anger. I know there's some people that are on the other side of me politically, on the other side of me religiously, but I'm not going to speak like that. Am I making sense? Number two, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to help somebody else up. I thank God to where he brought me, and my way of showing love is to help somebody else get up. Is this working for you? Is it working? All right, this last one's going to work on your nerves. Practice peace towards people who are my enemies. In other words, how many in here have somebody just don't like you? Anybody got somebody in here? Okay, that's everybody on this side. So these folk over here don't have anybody like that. But there are some folks that just don't like you because of who you are. They don't like you because of your color. Or they don't like you because you're a woman. They don't like you because of your education. They don't like you because of where you come from or what you do. And so they become your enemy. And God tells Paul to tell the people, if you're going to love like me, then I want you to practice peace. See, you don't have control over what people do to you. You can put yourself in a better position so that whatever might happen, you kind of want to prevent that from happening. But you do have 100% of the control on what your response is going to be. It's really about giving evil for evil. That's what this is all about. There are people that are going to do you evil. I don't care what you say. And when God says here, don't you do that back. I'm not telling you something new, am I? I'm not telling you something new. You've heard this a million times, but I'm reinforcing it. Practice peace towards your enemies. Romans 12, 17 through 18. He says, do not repay anyone. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they come from. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. I don't interpret that to mean you don't protect your house or you don't protect your loved ones. God's not saying it. He's saying, don't repay. I'm going to get you back. I'm going to make sure that you feel exactly what I felt and go through what I went through when you were treating me bad. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. I have seen God get some people. I mean that seriously. I don't want to get in the middle of that when God is. I've seen people that come to me and say, will you come visit my child in jail? And I'm saying, no, I don't think I can go on that one because I see the hand of God in that. I told you a million times, you got to get that boy away from those kids or get that girl away from those drugs. And you didn't do it. And now we see the result of that. Can I get a witness? And I'm saying, you really cannot stop that. You have to let it run its course. I'm not saying you don't love the person, but there's a thing called tough love. And the hope is that in the end, they will come to their senses. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, it takes a big person to really believe in this last sentence right here, which is saying, God's going to make it right. God's going to make it right. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't do what you do. If you're an activist in something, you got a cause, stand up for your cause. I believe that the church is a cause, and you ought to stand up for it. But know this, you are not by yourself going to make the world right. You are not by yourself going to make the world right. But I do know someone who made us all, who can and will make the world right. And one day there's not going to be any bad guys or good guys or bad gals or good gals. All there's going to be is God's people. And we have to decide which side of that fence I want to be on. I can't make the world perfect. I can't make it all right. But I do know somebody who can. And that's why I preach this gospel and have been preaching it for over 50 years. On the contrary, oh, this is going to make somebody mad right here, Juanita. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him or her something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not overcome evil by evil. Be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I'm not going to challenge you to do three people on this one. But I'm going to challenge you on at least one person that I would easily give payback to because you hate me. You can't stand me. But I'm not going to give that back to you. I'm going to give back to you. That's all, folks. Loving like Jesus loved. Some powerful words. Number one, let's say it together. Speak well of people who hate my beliefs. Associate with people beneath my staff. Practice peace with people who are my enemies. Loving like Jesus loved. I must work more. I'm not there yet. How many want to get there? Why don't you stand there? I'm glad that you're honest. I'm glad that some folks said, you know what, I am not there yet. I have a tough time loving people that are my enemies. And, you know, I believe that Jesus is saying, I know you have a tough time. You need me to help you. You need me to help you to be this kind of lover. I'm going to ask if our counselors would come forward. And I'm going to ask if our music ministers come forward. And first I'm going to ask this, because I do believe that like marriage, there is something that we do to get in touch with God. I still believe this. I believe that one accepts that I am less than God. I submit to God's authority through Jesus Christ in my life. I go through the baptismal waters, which is an acknowledgement that I am cleansed on the outside. It doesn't mean that the water cleans me. It just simply means that it is a demonstration. I'm not the same anymore. And I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be the new person that I am. That's the first thing. If you've never been baptized, I want to invite you to come and partake, not today, but in the baptism of water. The second thing I want to invite you to, and that is to become a part of Living Hope Fellowship. You know, maybe you've been attending this church and you like it. You wouldn't be coming if you didn't like it. Well, how about if you make a decision to take the next step, and that is to be a part of this church family? It's sort of like getting married. You could go out with the gal or the guy for 10 years, but you're not married till you get married. It's called shacking up. And Scripture makes it pretty plain that shacking up is, God does not honor that. He doesn't honor us being like bunnies and rabbits. If it's early in the relationship, it's called fornication. If it's after you're married, it's called adultery. And it never turns out well. God looks for a commitment. I want to challenge those who attend Living Hope to make a step and let folk know, hey, I want to be a part of this church. I believe they preach the word over there. I believe they teach the word over there. I believe that they know how to love people, and they're trying to. They're not perfect, but we're trying to present God's love in flesh form, day. Now the third invitation is for anybody who just wants prayer this morning. Now, maybe you're going through something, or you got something in your life that's happening. Maybe you've got some decisions to make in terms of how you're going to love from here on out. Because, you know, when you hear God's word, it's hard to just go out and say, forget that. I'm not caring about that. I'm not talking to anybody nice. They talk to me bad. I'm going to talk bad back to them. You know, it's easy to say that, but the challenge of God's word, he always brings it close to home. He always gives you somebody closer to you to practice on. I've said to you before, you know, I didn't have a good mouth. I know it when I was coming up. But I've learned when you speak better to people, can I get a witness? It just makes it better for everybody. So, I'm going to ask if you come. Hey, Pastor Nick, will you come and stand with us this morning? Everybody knows you around here. All right. The doors of the church are open. Won't you come?